This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, December 14th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, a look at FutureGen, the experimental coal-fired power plant. There's an announcement expected on where it will be built next week, but there are some who say it may never be built. Also get a forecast for the weekend from meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, a look at today's news. Another person with close ties to Governor Rod Blagojevich is now under federal indictment. Ben Calhoun reports.
Yesterday afternoon, Illinois U.S. Attorney Patrick Fitzgerald announced the indictment against Christopher Kelly.
Chris Kelly is charged in that indictment with cheating on his taxes.
Allegedly hiding money from the IRS.
Underreporting his income by more than $1 million.
Kelly also allegedly siphoned money out of his businesses and used some of the money in question to pay debts on illegal bets to a Chicago bookie. Kelly is a South Suburban businessman, as well as a personal friend, top fundraiser, and close advisor to Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich. He's also been identified in other recent indictments that involve state corruption. Although yesterday, everyone from Fitzgerald to Kelly's lawyer, Michael Monaco, insisted that's all unrelated to these charges.
These charges only involve tax issues involving his personal and business life, and that's all.
Monaco says Kelly maintains his innocence. In a written statement, Governor Blagojevich called Kelly a friend and said he's, quote, saddened to hear these allegations about Chris's personal life. I'm Ben Calhoun.
A city electoral board in Urbana has ruled against petitions to place an instant runoff voting referendum on the February ballot. The panel of Democratic city leaders ruled that organizers didn't collect enough signatures to put a binding referendum on the ballot that would make instant runoff voting the rule for Urbana municipal elections if passed. While conceding that their petitions fell short, Joe Futrell of the Prairie Greens says there's still a lot of local support for instant runoff voting.
Close reading of the election law seems to indicate that more signatures were required than we gathered. On the other hand, 1,000 signatures for a question like this indicates that there's a significant amount of interest, you know, any way you slice it.
Under the instant runoff voting system, voters can mark second or third choices on the ballot. If no candidate wins a majority on the first count, runner-up votes are added in until a majority winner is produced. Futrell says their next move will be to ask the Urbana City Council to take action themselves to place an instant runoff voting referendum on the ballot, but he says there's not much time if they're going to get the question on the Urbana ballot in February. The victim of Tuesday's house fire in Penfield has been identified as the owner of that house. Champaign County Coroner Dwayne Northrup has positively identified the body found on East Street as that of 48-year-old Mary Stewart. Northrup says they used dental records to identify her body. The cause of Stewart's death had earlier been determined to be smoke and soot inhalation from the fire. Toxicology tests are still pending. Northrup says he may hold an inquest at a later date. Authorities say a woman whose body was found last May in Boneyard Creek had to have been pushed over a bridge railing to suffer the injuries she did. A Champaign County coroner's jury has ruled Heather Montaigne's death was a homicide. Urbana Police Detective Dwayne Maxey says the 30-year-old woman hit her head on an I-beam on a bridge on Ray Street before falling into the creek, knocking her unconscious before she drowned in the water. Maxey says Montaigne had been fighting with her boyfriend, 41-year-old Curtis Collins, on the early morning hours of May 16th. Collins claims that Montaigne fell during the argument. Champaign County Coroner Dwayne Northrup says her injuries prove, though, that the woman left the bridge with some force behind her.
There were broken bones. There were, you know, abrasions, contusions, and we feel some of those are consistent with her striking the I-beam that was mentioned earlier that's over the side of the railing. So we feel confident, and in speaking with the pathologist, that those injuries are consistent with her going over at that location.
Collins was arrested in Iowa last month on first-degree murder charges. He's in the Champaign County Jail on $500,000 bond. The new water treatment plant under construction west of Champaign includes seven new wells that could lower water table levels for property owners with private wells nearby. But as AM580's Jim Meadows reports, Illinois American Water says it's ready to help those landowners keep the water service that they need.
Network operations manager Barry Suit says the company is ready to help landowners within a 1.5-mile radius of the well field by paying for deeper wells on their property or by hooking up landowners to the water main that will connect to the new treatment plant. Suit says Illinois American prefers this second option where feasible. He outlined the proposal at a meeting with treatment plant neighbors last night. Some of them were skeptical of the offer to hook up to the water main because they would then be paying for water that they had been pumping themselves. But Suit says most rural landowners prefer water company service to their own wells if they can get it.
Because they find the soft water, the fluoride in the water for prevention of tooth decay, the safeness of the water because we do place a disinfectant in the water, to be a huge advantage for them. And frankly, the overall cost to be less than providing their own water of a lesser quality.
Suit says the new water treatment plant and its new wells are expected to open 1 year from now. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
9 a.m. Tuesday is when two East Central Illinois communities expect to learn if they'll be known as the home of FutureGen. Despite a letter from the Department of Energy criticizing the timing, the Alliance of Researchers and Utilities planning the massive coal-fired power plant project say they'll announce a site then on Tuesday. Brian Moody is Tuscola's Economic Development Director. He says if his village or nearby Mattoon wins FutureGen over sites in Texas, the next step would be to make sure the $1.5 billion plant is actually built.
There are a lot of various land transactions and just requirements that we've offered ourselves up for if we were to be selected. And the timeline is really the most important thing for the Alliance. So we want to do everything we can to keep them on schedule. That's really what we pledge to do, and we'll start taking those steps.
Moody says Tuscola leaders plan to watch a webcast of the announcement Tuesday morning at the City Building. Mattoon is scheduled a similar get-together at the Time Theater. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. The AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Illinois leaders and leaders in Mattoon and Tuscola, as we just heard, are pinning their hopes on the state being chosen as the home of FutureGen, the high-tech, clean-burning coal-fired power plant. It's billed as a way to revive the state's ailing coal industry. But some are skeptical that the plant will ever be built. Illinois Public Radio's Sean Crawford reports.
At stake for Illinois is over 1,000 construction jobs and a research facility that could make Illinois' high-sulfur coal king once again. Getting behind this massive project was simple for the Illinois Coal Association, which represents the mining industry. Phil Gannett is director.
To me, this is a no-brainer. I mean, if we want to continue to keep the lights on, to provide reasonably priced energy to make the economy of this country work, you need to develop coal.
Many power plants already burn coal, but there's growing concern emissions they release into the atmosphere may cause global warming. That makes it hard to market Illinois' product, which is more polluting than coal from western states. So much so that even power plants here in Illinois are forced to import the low-sulfur variety, while just below them sit some of the richest coal reserves in the country. That's where FutureGen comes in. The plant would burn coal and capture nearly all the carbon dioxide. Instead of floating into the atmosphere, the greenhouse gas produced would be stored underground. If the idea catches on, Illinois mines could be back on a level playing field. However, the potential for an Illinois coal resurrection almost sounds too good to be true, and Ken Mays believes that's the case.
I would say there are better things that would aid the people in whatever state ends up with this project.
Mays is editor for Power Magazine, which is a longtime publication focused on electricity generation. He says for all the hype over FutureGen, power companies have shown little interest. He says it would be expensive for them to install technology that FutureGen promotes. Power providers in the private sector, who had been expected to put money toward the building of the plant, have mostly stayed on the sidelines. Mays has taken to calling the project NeverGen because he doubts it will be built.
You know, it's been political from the beginning, of course. Bush wanted to show he was doing something for energy. It has all of the elements of projects that look like they were going to go somewhere, and the wheels begin to wobble, and pretty soon they come off.
One example is the last time Illinois and Texas battled over a big federal project. In the 1980s, it was a particle accelerator called a superconducting supercollider. Texas landed the prize, but construction cost overruns finally forced the feds to scrap it. Phil Gannett with the Illinois Coal Association sees a parallel, but Gannett says he remains hopeful.
Cautiously optimistic that the funding will proceed. The cost of this has already gone up. what started as a $1 billion project, the last figure I saw was about 1.4, so you kind of get concerned. And when government's funding a portion, even a portion of that, I think there's some concern. But I'm optimistic that, you know, the funding has been included in the budgets of President Bush so far. Whoever is the next president, hopefully, will see the wisdom of this.
Yet skepticism continues, even among those who push the hardest to do something about polluting coal plants. Henry Henderson with the National Resource Defense Council says no one should expect a lot of new clean-burning coal plants to come online unless the federal government changes the rules. He says much tighter emission controls are needed, or otherwise the new technology FutureGen promises won't make a difference.
An investment in highly expensive infrastructure, when they would be competing against people who bear absolutely no burden to do this, it is an unfair competition.
Those are details Jack Lavin has no control over. The economic development director for the state of Illinois has put countless hours, energy, and dollars into landing FutureGen. Despite all that, even if Illinois is chosen as home to the project, Lavin says his work won't be finished.
There's lots of competing interests for budget priorities, and that's going to take continuing to work with the Congress, work with the Department of Energy, and whoever's in the White House to make sure that those projects are fully funded, including FutureGen.
If the news is good for Illinois, the dream of rejuvenating the state's coal industry still remains far from a reality. Illinois has made a significant effort to get the project, but making sure the federal government follows through with its promise could be the toughest sell job of all. I'm Sean Crawford.
Meteorologist Ted Kieser says we may be getting some snow this weekend, probably will get some snow. In fact, a winter storm watch is in effect from tomorrow morning through Sunday morning for most of Indiana already, and we may get snow as early as tonight. The forecast for today across the two states, generally mostly sunny with some clouds in northern Indiana, scattered snow showers and flurries there. The highs from 20 in far northwestern Illinois to 44 in the far south, 35 today's high in Champaign-Urbana under sunshine. For tonight, in northern and central Illinois, becoming cloudy with snow arriving after midnight. In southern Illinois, becoming cloudy with a mix of snow and sleet after midnight, some rain in the southern tip. In Indiana, increasing clouds with some snow arriving in western sections toward daybreak. Tonight's lows ranging from 10 in far northwest Illinois to 32 far south, 24 in Champaign-Urbana. And for tomorrow, in northern Illinois, cloudy with occasional light snow. In northern Indiana and central Illinois, cloudy with periods of snow. In central Indiana, cloudy with snow becoming heavy at times. In most of the southern half of Indiana and southern third of Illinois, a wintry mix of precipitation and cloudy with rain near the Ohio River in Illinois. Highs from 22 in the far northwest to 36 in the far south, 28 tomorrow's high in Champaign-Urbana. Maybe an inch or two of snow, likely according to Ed Kieser, with the possibility of a bit more. Tomorrow night, cloudy and windy, some light snow and blowing snow, maybe another inch, the low 20. And then Sunday, cloudy and windy, a few flurries in the morning, then partly sunny in the afternoon, and a high of 27. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, December 14th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.